Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Chris.
So in true podcaster fashion, at least tech podcaster, I do have to mention I changed my setup a little bit, right? Like if you're a tech podcaster, you have to mention you changed your podcasting setup or you're not a real tech podcaster. Like that's a rule, right?
Yeah, that and like you also, like as any podcaster, you have to promise that you'll improve the audio quality next time.
Oh, okay, good.
When things don't go right. So
okay,
that's just something that we have to do from now on.
Gotcha. Well, I think after 23 episodes, I might have finally got it thanks to the new iPad.
Okay. So do you want to kind of dive into it? What's the setup?
I mean, it's the same microphone and all that stuff, but I had an old XLR interface just kind of sitting in a closet that I forgot about. I plugged it in to see if the new USB-C port could give it enough power, and it does. So great. That's everything's nice. Running over XLR, so it should sound better. I did a few tests, so everything I think should sound a little better. Hopefully you're not listening to this and go, oh no, it actually sounds worse now. So
what have you done?
There's always that possibility. So, you know, I may just end up cutting this part out of the podcast. So if you don't hear this, it does sound worse. So anyways, I figured we could kind of start with a little bit of follow-up. Because I've had a little more time with the 12.9 iPad, and then we kind of teased that I was getting a HomePod as well.
Yeah, did that come in?
Yeah, so the HomePod is in, and I love it. It is so good. It sounds so unbelievably good. It is like half the size of my studio monitors, which I am so surprised how small the thing is. I expected it to be a little bigger. Even though I've seen them in person, I still unboxed it and expected it to be bigger. It's weird. Sounds so good. I only got one. It was a Black Friday deal with Best Buy. It was $100 off. So that was, I've never seen them that cheap. Even Apple's refurbished ones aren't that cheap. I'm kicking myself for not buying two, though, because I really wish, I want to replace my studio monitors with HomePods.
Okay.
And then so I have the stereo pair. So I'm kind of like looking at all the Christmas deals and stuff and just kind of like waiting to see if they go back on sale or something. And if they don't, maybe I'll just order a refurbished one or something after Christmas or something. I'm not going to do anything right now because it's Christmas time and I've bought enough stuff for me.
With like the studio pair conversation with a HomePod, and I've never had a HomePod, so I don't really know how or like how the difference in quality, but like the HomePod itself seems like a great audio speaker and everything. Like, how important is like a studio pair, like the stereo, like how important is that for you? Because I would imagine like maybe you watch a lot of movies with like, and you want that stereo kind of feel with it. But like, to me, I figured with the HomePod, if you had it like dead center in front of you or just behind the monitor you're listening to or whatever, it would allow you to kind of get the great audio quality still without having to have, you know, $500+ dropped into it just so you have two speakers. Like, is it that much of a difference?
Well, so if you just have one HomePod, it's doing fake stereo. It's not real stereo because it's just one speaker.
Right.
It tries to like bounce the sound off the walls and stuff. It does this really interesting tuning thing. That it'll kind of like, it'll tune itself and kind of figure out like where it's positioned and like where walls are and how sound bounces off of it. It's all really interesting. But if you just have one, it's still fake. It's still fake stereo. So if you have two, you get true stereo. And I do like to watch a lot of videos and stuff at my desk. And I think having two would be nice. Like I could replace my studio monitors, which are not old and they're not terrible. I've had them for a couple of years and they're still really good. But I'm like kind of in this situation where I'm kind of like rethinking like my desk setup. Like I'm turning my dining room into a studio for like YouTube videos, and maybe I'll do my podcasting out there as well. And then like have my desk for like editing video and working and stuff like that. That way I can kind of switch up where I'm sitting. And my biggest problem right now is whenever I want to do a YouTube video and I need to film something, I have to tear apart my desk, basically, like to get everything to fit right. If I have like my mechanical keyboard on my desk, I can't use that. I got to take that off because it's too hard to get a camera around there. Like it's too hard to get my tripod or whatever I'm using on there. So it's kind of annoying. So I'd like to have a setup that's always set up for filming and a setup always set up for me just to do some work. And I don't use my dining room. It like I live alone. Like it literally never gets used. So it would be a great place to put a makeshift studio. So I'm kind of like in this process of rethinking everything and revamping everything, and I'd like to put my studio monitors in the new quote unquote studio, and then like have HomePods sitting on my desk because I think that would just be kind of cool to have, but also very expensive, so may not happen. So we'll kind of see.
Yeah, we'll do even more follow up to this follow up.
Yeah, it'll be follow up to the follow up within the follow up section. It's like meta follow up.
Yeah, follow-upception.
Yep. The other thing I wanted to touch on really quickly is I've had more time with the 12.9-inch iPad Pro. Boy, do I love this thing. It was definitely 100% the right choice to take the 11-inch one back, to return it, and get this one. I love the 12.9-inch so much. It's so significantly smaller. My old 12.9 got shipped away, and this one came in afterwards, so I wasn't ever able to have them side by side. So it was kind of, I never got to like compare the physical sizes to each other. Just like having the muscle memory of the old 12.9, this one is so significantly smaller and so significantly lighter. It's just so nice to use, and multitasking is so good on it.
Yeah. Yeah, there was one statistic I heard, I forget where I heard it, but apparently the new iPads are thinner than any iPhone that's ever been made.
Yes, it's the second thinnest Apple product ever.
What's the first?
The 6th or 7th generation iPod Nano.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah, it like when I heard that fact, it really blew my mind of like just how thin and you know, like how compact that thing is compared to like all the power that it has in it and everything else. Like it just seems to me like it's a feat against physics, you know.
I have a feeling the design language for these iPad Pros isn't going to be changing anytime soon, just because, like you said, physics. Like, I don't see them being able to actually make this thing smaller. The bezels, I don't think they will change because you got to have some area to hold on to it. I think this will be kind of the design language we have for a few years, much like kind of like the iPhone 6 was, that design language stuck around for like 4 years. So I wouldn't expect to see anything new anytime soon.
Yeah, so I kind of want to go more in depth with the 12.9 and how what made you decide that this was better than the 11. Is it just the size, or is there more to it?
The size, the multitasking, it really comes down to the fact that I sit in front of this thing so much, and the 11 is smaller. At some points, it was hurting my eyes to stare at such a small screen. The 12.9 is significantly bigger. There's much more room. Multitasking is better. Ultimately, for somebody that just sits in front of an iPad for as much as I do, having the bigger one just fits in my workflow better. The other thing, too, is I always have a keyboard attached. I rarely use it in tablet mode, the 12.9. I use the 11-inch a lot in, like, quote-unquote tablet mode. But with the 12.9, like, I always have the keyboard attached. The new Smart Folio keyboard has that solid bottom, so it works really well. Like, if I'm sitting in my chair or something, like, I can kind of just prop it up and, like, on the armrest in my living room, I can just kind of prop it up and type on there, and there's no wobble or anything. It's just, ultimately, I think it's a better product for somebody like me that works as much as I do off of an iPad.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. I can understand that completely. Just as someone that uses the 10.5, it is kind of small. And the 11, like, I would imagine the 11 would be a little less strenuous on the eyes, but still probably wouldn't be great for all-day usage.
Yeah.
And, I definitely empathize with that kind of thought process and feelings towards that device, just because it can be a bit cumbersome and a bit strenuous on you, but I'm glad that you finally have a definitive answer to this long question that you've had
for many months. It's been going on since like WWDC, right? I've been asking you, like, which one should I get? Yep, no.
Yeah.
The nice thing is I tried them both. So going into, the next iPad cycle or the cycle after that, whenever I get a new one, I'll know the 12.9 is the way to go, unless they introduce like a 15-inch iPad Pro. Even that, I think that would be too big. I keep hearing people say they want like a 15-inch iPad Pro, but I think that would be too big.
What if they just bumped it up an inch? What if they go from a 12.9 to like a 13.5 and the 11 turns into a 12?
Oh, Don't. Okay, we can't do that right now. You're going to break my brain. I would need to get out. I would need to make some mock-ups, and like I think at that point I wouldn't even order anything online. I would have to go to a store and try it out. Like,
okay. 'Cause there's, all right.
Yeah, like I think if they changed the size too dramatically, yeah, I wouldn't even know. But still, okay. Still holding out hope for that mythical 27-inch, always plugged into the power iPad Pro that, you know, is kind of more like that Microsoft Studio thing, but actually works.
All you need to do is get an external monitor. And...
Well, iOS still doesn't support touchscreen monitors.
Okay.
So even if I did get an external monitor with, like, touchscreen support, it still wouldn't do that. And plus, let's be honest, most touchscreens are not nearly as good as what like Apple's is, and it wouldn't have support for like the Apple Pencil or anything like that. So it's gonna have to be something from Apple.
Can you imagine how much that monitor would cost with an oleophobic coating?
They would have my money.
It being
they would get it all. You could have my birthday money or whatever. Like you can have like whatever you want. Like it, you can have my next 10 checks. Like it's fine. I don't need
Man.
Yeah, you can just. Give me the monitor. I want it. Like the idea of just having an iPad like docking station where you just plug your iPad into it, then an external monitor kicks over. Maybe there's like a GPU built into it or something. That would just be so cool. Oh man, that would be cool.
Chris, some good news, bad news. You can get this new monitor, but you have to sell your car for it.
Deal. I'll ride a bike everywhere. I'm okay with that. I mean, I'll ride a bike and have my groceries delivered. I work in the tech industry. That's pretty normal for me, right?
Yeah, yeah. You're also in a place that it's more prevalent as opposed to where I am.
Not if I need to go visit my parents or like anywhere that's not McDonald's and work. That's pretty much like I'd be screwed.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. That's fair.
But we wanted to talk about something today. You wanted to talk about how you can't get real work done on an iPad. I'm kidding.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. No.
Yeah, that's exactly what I wanted to talk about today.
why don't you kind of tell everybody what we're kind of thinking? Like, I mean, what we kind of were chatting about over iMessage.
I mean, we were talking about, and this has been like an ongoing thing, and it's really no secret to anyone that listens to the show or, you know, hears what I have to say, pretty much anywhere that's online, is that, you know, without burying the lead, I have been using my Mac a lot more than my iPad, and I kind of wanted just to talk about the platforms that we choose to work with and work on, and why we decide to choose those kind of things. And this is kind of a way for me just to kind of explain the reason I'm using my Mac more is because this, this, and this. And I also wanted to get your point of view on this, Chris, because you are someone that still is an iOS purist and you don't even have a Mac at your house anymore. So you use your iOS devices 100% of the time outside of your day job, probably. But, you know, that's it. Like, that's the only thing that you use a Mac for. Meanwhile, I'm using my Mac more and more for a lot of the things that I used to use my iPad for. And I kind of wanted to just have us both talk about platforms a little bit and the reasoning between you and I of, like, why we just had to use the things that we use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this is a really good idea. I think after, you know, the iPad Pro reviews came out, if anybody was paying attention, there was a lot of reviews basically saying, hey, this hardware is really nice, but you still can't get real work done on an iPad.
And the thing about that, though, that's nothing new. Like, everyone got up in arms about that this time around, but it's nothing new. It's been the same kind of thing since the first iPad Pro came out.
But my biggest problem with that, though, is that most of these people didn't even try. They, like, looked for, like, whatever app they use on their Mac. Like, oh, BB Edit's not here. Okay, well, I can't do anything on the iPad then.
Right.
Or my 10-year-old CMS that was built, you know, super cheaply, wherever, it doesn't support iOS, so obviously I can't work on iOS. And, you know, Jeff, I don't know if you know this, but the most important job in the world is tech bloggers. Tech bloggers are absolutely the most important people in the world. So if they can't do their job, nobody can do their job. So
yeah, yeah. as one myself, it's true. We like it's like we don't like to brag about it, but like we are like the most important people in the world.
You know, a lot of people like to think Santa Claus is, but no, sorry, no. Not true no. at all. Nope. It's tech bloggers. But no, so
and we're going to get in so much trouble with this.
Oh, I don't care. Come at me, bro. And I've been trying, and you know, a lot of people, some people. A handful of people. Okay, no, actually a couple of people have been doing a really good job on the internet. Jonathan Morrison on YouTube, he's mm-hmm. been doing a really good job of like finding people and talking to people about like how they work on their iPad. I think it was maybe it was 9to5Mac. They just did like a whole piece on like creative people that are using their iPad for something. And it's people are out there like finding people that aren't just like tech blogging and aren't just me and they're not just you that are actually using their iPads for really interesting things. You know, I hear all the time like people that like pilots, they use it for flight navigation. Doctors, they use it for like scans and stuff that I totally don't even understand. Mm-hmm, like there's mm-hmm. other people out there that use it. So the whole, you know, I tried 5 minutes to do my job on the iPad. I couldn't do it. So obviously the whole world can't use the iPad. It kind of really got to me. And mm-hmm. that kind of filtered out from there that I thought it'd be interesting to talk about why we use the computers we use, what kind of drove us there, and what we like about them, what keeps us there. So do you want to go first or would you like me to?
Let's have you go first.
Okay, so have I ever told the origin story of why I kind of went to the iPad? Do you know if I ever did that?
You might have, but let's do it again anyway, because I can't even remember okay. the full story.
All right, so it really started with iOS 9. iOS 9 came out, and I had an older iPad mini, and it wouldn't do the whole split screen thing. And this mm-hmm. was right at the time I started doing the Untitled site. It wasn't even YouTube stuff. It was just me blogging. And please don't go back and look for those pieces. They're really, really bad. I'm a terrible writer. So I kind of was really curious about this. You know, I was listening to people like Federico Vitici talk about working off the iPad, and I thought it was really interesting. Like, I was like, you know, I could probably write off the iPad. My needs are pretty minimal, especially at that time. It was, you know, I need a text editor to write in. There was the Squarespace blog app that I could just publish everything from. So I was like, yeah, my needs are pretty minimal. This might be really interesting. And iOS 9 really got a lot of people excited. So I went out and picked up an iPad Air 2. Because this was before the iPad Pros were announced. And I played around with it for the whole summer, and I really, really enjoyed it. And it just kind of slowly started taking over more and more things. Like, I started finding, like, okay, you know, I basically made a checklist of everything that I did on my Mac and was like, okay, can I find something that works on the iPad and not, like, feeling super hacky, but just, like, something that, you know, works relatively the same or if not even better. So I just kind of went through that checklist during the summer, and I found everything. And I was like, okay, this is pretty great. Then the iPad Pros were announced, and I didn't get one right away because I just bought an iPad Air 2. But I ended up getting – it was like some sort of bonus or something at work. And I was like, okay, you know, this is something I really want. This is something I'd like to kind of check out. So I ended up going and picking up one of those. I sold the iPad Air 2, and I ended up picking up one of those. And I fell in love with it. Like that first iPad Pro, that 12.9-inch one, because the original 9.7 didn't get announced till later. It felt so good. Like, it can move around things. And then it was, I think it was just one morning, I was Google searching around. I was just trying to find some sort of multi-track video editor on the iPad. And I came across just some random YouTube video, and it was showing LumaFusion. And literally nowhere else on the internet could I find a mention of LumaFusion. Now it's all over the internet, which is great, which is fantastic. I want that app to blow up. I need that app to exist, because if that app goes away, I am... Well, let's not talk about that, because I'm getting scared.
you don't want to jinx yourself.
Oh my gosh, that would be terrible if that app went away. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I guess there's Adobe Rush, but it's really not good. So
no, but, I mean, comparatively no.
Yeah, I mean, there's not even keyboard shortcuts in that. But anyways, speaking of keyboard shortcuts, things like keyboard shortcuts and stuff were on the iPad Pro with iOS 9. You had picture in picture, you had split view, things like that. It was really great, and I just kept working off of it, and I just kept finding more and more stuff I liked about it, and it really fit for me. And so I just kept doing more and more. Then I started doing videos on it, and people really started to kind of like that. They liked that I was working off the iPad, and it got them excited about the iPad. They wanted to work off the iPad, and it just kept going from there. And eventually, like, I just it just became the device I picked up. When I need to do something, I just picked up my iPad. I had a MacBook Pro for a long time up until very recently, and it barely ever got turned on. It was just sitting in my desk drawer, and it was just like, okay. I mean, it was not. It's not that I hate the Mac. It's not that I don't want to use the Mac. I just really like iOS, and I really like working from it. Every video I publish now, without fail, I will get 3 to 5 comments minimum. And my iPad Pro review, I mean, I can't even count how many people just telling me, oh, well, you work at a desk, so you should just get a MacBook Pro. You should just get a 13-inch MacBook Pro. You should just get a 15-inch MacBook Pro. And I'm like,
right.
I don't want to, in every single video, say I don't want to work from a Mac. I like working from iOS. These are the reasons why. I don't want to have to do that, but it's starting to become that way. I'm starting to have to, like, either just flat out ignore it, or have to, like, give a quick, like, explainer, hey, I don't work from a Mac. I enjoy working from iOS. I can do everything I need to do. I don't know. It's the stigma of I'm actually not doing real work that just really, it really bugs me.
Yeah, and that's understandable. It reminds me a lot of back in the day when people would compare the specs of a MacBook Pro and the cost of it compared to a laptop that's a Windows-based that would be higher spec'd at half the price.
Yeah.
And people were just like, well, if you're going to get that kind of machine, like, why don't you just spend half the money or spend the exact same amount of money and get a way faster and quote-unquote beefier machine that just runs on Windows? Like, why can't you just do that? Well, the answer to that is because I prefer to work with macOS instead of Windows 10 or Windows 7 and OS 10. You know, like, however you want to compare it. But, like, it's one of those comparisons that just doesn't really equate. And I think it's the same thing between Mac OS and iOS, or just the Mac in general and iOS in general. And it's very difficult to kind of compare the two because they are so different. Now, granted, a Windows machine versus a Mac machine are very, very different ends of the spectrum. And an iPad and a Mac are very, very similar comparatively. Like, they have a lot of apps that kind of are cross-platform, can be used in both operating systems, where Windows, you're lucky to get like 2% of your applications that work on both, you know.
Yeah.
Like, and like, I can understand the frustration with that, and I can understand why people are up in arms about when people that don't really give the iPad a full chance to say it's not really worthwhile, it's not worth your time because you quote unquote can't do real work on it. And I am also frustrated with that kind of sentiment because, like, hey, why are we pitting these two things against each other as opposed to finding ways to either have them both work in harmony, or understanding that not everyone works the same way you do, and that you can do things with the iPad that might not necessarily be as crisp and clean of a workflow you've had for the last 15 years, but can still be done very well, and that there's new and interesting ways that you can work with the iPad that you still can't do with the Mac. Yeah, sure, the Mac has Automator, but iOS has Shortcuts. Shortcuts, to me, is the definitive way most people will ever automate things that is so easy to kind of grasp and understand once you spend a little bit of time kind of understanding how the application works and certain things that you can do with it. And people like yourself and Matthew Casanelli and other people are, like, really gung-ho about, like, showing people the power that Shortcuts has, while Mac Automator has been around for so long, and Apple Scripts is a thing, and, like, that's are great, and those are great options. But at the same time, like, someone like myself that actually doesn't have a background in computer coding and things like that, like, looking at Apple Scripts and looking at ways people use Automator is like trying to read Greek for me. But when I look at people that create Shortcuts, I can read that top to bottom and understand exactly everything that's being done with it because it's such a great application. And there's nothing compared that you can really compare to that kind of experience that you have with the Mac. Mm-hmm. And people just don't give, like, it's things like that people don't give the iPad a chance to really show what kind of things you can do with it and flourish. And I'm happy to see people like 9to5 Mac and Mac Stories and yourself and Matthew Casanelli kind of talk about the things that they do with the iPad and get things done on the iPad that aren't, you know, quote unquote real work, or, you know, like, And Matt Birchley is another person that, you know, Birchtree.me is a great place to go for that kind of stuff too. There's a really good article he wrote a while ago before this whole hubbub about the new iPad Pros came out, where he was like, I use the iPad every day for my work and not just my blogging, but like my actual day job. Mm-hmm. And that was really interesting to read, and I'll have that in the show notes. But yeah, like I understand the frustration that you've got with it, and I have a lot of similarities with your origin story of how you started using the iPad and my origin story. We both started with iOS 9. We both started with an iPad Air 2. And we both kind of put more and more into that machine and threw everything that we could at it. And it just seemed to handle it without any kind of problem. And the iPad Pros made it even easier for that. And I got the 10.5 as soon as it came out because I was ready to get a new iPad at that time. And the iPad Air 2 was like my main machine at the time. And I've had that 10.5 for, you know, a couple of years now. And I still love that machine to death. And I use it here and there. But here's a secret that we kind of alluded to earlier. I'm using my Mac a lot more.
Yeah. And that's okay.
And we're gonna get into this because, like, my Mac, I bought a MacBook Pro 2017 not too long ago. And the reason I got that was because I felt that I needed to get a new Mac. I had an old MacBook Air that I gave off to my fiance Courtney because she had an even older, she had a 2013 MacBook Air and it was kind of on its way out. And the MacBook Air I have now, I think it's a 2015. It's whatever the latest model is. I've had that for a little while. And I decided to give that to her and I got the MacBook Pro instead because I basically just wanted to upgrade my Mac because there were still some things that I was using it for, much like, you know, one of them being editing podcasts and recording podcasts. And I still use my Mac for that. And I know that you're using your iPad right now and that's great, but I'm so used to editing podcasts on the Mac. It's difficult for me to go to things like Ferrite. And it's not me saying that I can't get things done on the iPad. I've edited podcasts with Ferrite before. It's a great application. But I'm just so dug in with Hindenburg on macOS that I just don't really want to have to go away from that unless I have to. Mm-hmm. And it just works with me better with that. And that's kind of where the first kind of crack in this egg started. I started thinking more and more about certain things that I'm doing on my iPad and like comparing it to things that I could do with my Mac. And for whatever reason, the Mac just feels right for those kind of things. Like a lot of my writing I have been doing on the Mac, like while I've been writing about the iPad, and I still use my iPad, don't get me wrong, a lot of the writing I'm doing about the iPad has actually been on my Mac, which is really weird, and I feel like I'm kind of like cheating people a little bit with it, but I don't know, it just works better for me and my cohesiveness with my productivity that I can do things on the Mac more than I could on the iPad. And that's not to say that like other people, like I feel like I'm cheating, like I'm rambling here, but I feel like I'm like cheating people because a lot of people consider me to be like an iPad first kind of person, much like yourself. And now that the cat's out of the bag and I've been using my Mac a lot more, and I kind of have to admit that like more than 50% of my work gets done on my Mac now, as opposed to my iPad. Like I don't know. Like I have this, like this worry that like I'm going to disappoint people, you know?
So let me ease your suffering right there. I don't think you're disappointing anyone. You getting your work done is more important than what people think of you. I fundamentally believe that. And you have kind of revamped your website all around the idea of not being specific to any one device.
Yeah.
You went from Tablet Habit to Rocket Panda, and you just wanted something very generic so you could talk about whatever you wanted.
Yeah.
You could, that way you can talk, because I know you're super excited about it, but that way you can write 10 blog posts on the new Super Smash Brothers game, because I know you're super excited.
Yeah,
you
know
it.
Me. I'm really excited about Super Smash Brothers.
Absolutely. Like I'm fully expecting those blog posts. You're mm-hmm. committing to it right now, and you're telling the people that's what's going to happen. I'm just kidding. I'm.
I'm definitely. I'm going to write 100 blog posts this year about Super Smash Brothers.
Cool. Like, this year. Wow. We're in December. It's December 1st right now, Jeff.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, I'm going to go 5 posts a day. Hopefully.
Okay. Cool. All right. Well, you heard it here first, people. Rocket Panda is now a Super Smash Brothers blog.
Cut to my computer catching on fire.
So now, anyways, my point is the fact that you want to use a Mac I don't think should disappoint anybody. You still use your iPad, like you said, you still use it. It's not like you got rid of it or whatever. Like you're still holding on to it and you're still playing around with it. And this podcast hasn't been a podcast specifically about the iPad in a long time. Our tagline may be a podcast about the iPad, and that probably should get updated, but ultimately this podcast is about people working in the Apple ecosystem.
Yeah.
And the tools and the techniques and just kind of tips to get that done. And ultimately, I think it's going to end up helping this show and hopefully helping other people, because I imagine not every single person that listens to this show specifically works off of the iPad.
Yeah.
I imagine there's a lot of people that work off of an iPad and a Mac. Or there might be people that just work off of a Mac. And this way we can kind of branch out and not just help people that work off iPad. I got that covered. I've got that, but you've got the Mac side now. This way we can talk about tools from both sides. And I think that ultimately that's really important. And I think having that sort of I think diversity may be the wrong word, but that sort of ability to branch out into different categories is really important.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'll never be that person that says you can't do this on the iPad, because A, I'm going to be proven wrong by you or somebody else that is using the iPad for all their work, where if I say something like, oh, you can't really edit real videos on an iPad, or you can't make YouTube videos that are good quality with an iPad, and you'll be the first one to come at me and say that I'm completely out of my mind with that kind of thing. Or I'll say something along the lines of like, you know, if you really want to do X, Y, or Z, you'll have to use a Mac as opposed to an iPad. There's very few things that you really physically can't do on the iPad, or like it's not easy to do. And, you know, that window between the things you can and can't do with the iPad is getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller every day. And there's great developers that are creating applications that are like, you know, just really putting the people that like shame iPad users, like they're just putting them in their place. And I think that's great.
One of the things that really attracted me to the iPad was the fact at the time there was so many limitations. And I know a lot of people are like, okay, he misspoke. I'm dead serious. Because the fact there is limitations, it really attracted me to the iPad, because it forced me to think more creatively. I've been an Adobe Premiere Pro user, a Final Cut user. Heck, I even used Avid for a little while. And I know those applications in and out. I can make After Effects dance on a penny. Like I can do all sorts of crazy things with that. But moving to an entire platform where those tools weren't available, it was to help me think more creatively. It really was to limit myself. I was too comfortable in the situation that I was in. It was too easy for me to just keep turning out, you know, C-level stuff. But I really wanted to like force myself to be more creative. And this is where kind of like the iPad came in. Now, the other day, I did tweet that I would do just about anything for After Effects to come to the iPad, because I really would. I would love to see that tool come there and be a part of my arsenal on the iPad. Like it would be important. It would be just phenomenal to have that there. Plus like a real version of Premiere Pro or Final Cut or something, or even if it was just Motion from Apple. Some sort of like 3D special effects software would be fantastic. Ultimately, I still really love working on the iPad. I, you know, every once in a while I'll think, you know, I probably could do X, Y, and Z faster on the Mac, but the iPad is just ultimately I just enjoy using it. I was at a coffee shop last night and I was, you know, waiting for somebody, and I was doing a little bit of work. I had about an hour to kill, so I was doing a little bit of work, and I was kind of like realizing I was flying through my iPad and like putting stuff in split screen and slide over and like just jumping through and getting a bunch of stuff taken care of. And it just felt really good. Like I really enjoy working from the iPad. And I totally understand not everyone's the same way. I'm trying not to be one of those people that says, hey, you have to work on the iPad, or like, you know, all cool people are working on the iPad. If you want to work from the iPad, my whole goal is to show you how it can be done and like cool tips and tricks. And here's some apps and here's some shortcuts and stuff on how to do it.
To kind of like go away from the talk of like the people that say you can't get real work done on the iPad, I think that we've we've done a really good job of like not saying those kind of things because A, it's not true. Definitively, emphatically, it's not true. And also because like, what's the point? Like, who are you helping with that kind of statement? You know, like, you know, with that out of the way, my question for you is like, what do you do? Like, what can you do to someone that is like, I've been using my Mac for a while, but I'm interested in doing more with the iPad. Like, what, where do I go? You know, because like, I understand that some people are just like, well, you can't just do anything on the iPad. But like, if someone's like really coming to you and it has been a Mac user for a while and like just got the iPad Pro or wants to get the new iPad Pro because they love how great it is. And a lot of reviews are out there that like been, and that have been great. Like, it's not just everyone saying that you can't do real work on it, but there are some that are. But there are others that like really say that this computer sings and it's a powerful machine. It's one of the fastest, you know, processors that's ever been come out with any Apple product ever. And you know, with that said, like, what do you, like, what would you say to someone that is genuinely curious of, like, how do you do these things on the iPad?
I think if somebody's wanting to approach working on the iPad, the best thing to do is to make a list of everything that you do. So, okay, my job entails email, my job entails taking notes, my job is some programming, my job is whatever. Like, whatever you need to do on a computer, make a list of it. I need to pay a bill online, put it on the list. Then sit down with an iPad and go through that list. Google search for apps. If you're having a problem finding an app or a shortcut or a service or something, tweet at somebody. You're more than welcome to tweet at me. I'm sure Jeff will be happy to help you. There's a ton of people in the community that are more than happy to help. Feel free to just reach out. I mean, we talk about this. We have the show and I have my YouTube channel and Jeff has his blog because we're excited about this stuff. We're excited to talk about this stuff. It's not because we, you know, somebody came to us and told us we had to do this. We're just genuinely excited. It's not something that these aren't our careers. We don't make any money off this show whatsoever. In fact, it costs us money because we have to pay for hosting.
Yeah.
But it's just something we genuinely like. So if you're interested in doing more off the iPad and you feel like there's something that's holding you back or you want to just get started, start Google searching around, make a list, start Google searching. And if you come into some roadblocks, ask people. Because I've had to ask people. I've asked people to with help when it was like workflow back in the day before it was shortcuts. I asked people for help to understanding that application. I asked people for help when I was learning Swift and stuff like that. Because it's not something that you just like wake up and know one day. I spent a lot of time getting my setup to where it is. Jeff, you spent a lot of time getting your setup to where it is. It's not something that you can just do overnight.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, I've said this before, but I'll say it again. My DMs are always open on Twitter if you ever decide to like want to talk to me about it and not want to like mention me publicly or anything. Like, you can just like DM me and just ask me questions. And if I can't answer them, I'll point to some of that might.
I should do that. I should open them up. Do you have anything else you want to add to this kind of this topic or
no?
I think we made our point. Like, I think if you want to get started on the iPad, great. If you want to stick with a Mac or a PC, or if you think real work can only get done on Nintendo Switch, I understand. Totally okay.
I will add one thing just to kind of, you know, answer any questions that might come in, like where I use certain things. Like, I use my Mac when I'm at my desk for the majority of things. And when I'm out and about, I'll take my iPad with me. Like, the applications that I use for my writing, I use Ulysses, and I use I Dropbox sync text files. And so I use several different text editors to kind of sync between them. And that works fine for me. And that's where I get most of my writing done and things like that. But like, that's kind of where my workflow is. Like, if I'm at the house, I'll probably use my Mac for work, and my iPad will basically be a media machine at the time. Like, I'll throw a YouTube video up or play music on it or, you know, whatever. And I'll do it that way. But if I take my iPad with me, I throw it on my new Bridge keyboard, which is great, by the way.
Oh, we forgot to talk about that.
I wrote my entire Bridge keyboard review on the Bridge on my iPad. So I don't want people to like think that I was not doing that. That's exactly what I was doing. But yeah, we'll talk about the Bridge keyboard here in a second. But like, that's kind of where my workflow is right now. Portability and stuff still goes to iPad first. If I'm out and about, like, I took my iPad with me to a coffee shop to write that Bridge review. And I wrote all of it at a coffee shop. And it was great. And I loved what they did. And I don't think I could have gotten Not that I couldn't have gotten that work done with a Mac, but like I felt like I chose the right machine for the right job at that time. And not just because I was reviewing an iPad keyboard, it was because that's what worked for me. But when I'm at home, I'll use my Mac, and you know, that's kind of where I am right now, as far as like where these two devices go. Because I wanted to answer that question before people ask me on Twitter or wherever, that like that's kind of where things fit. Mm-hmm. With that said, I got a Bridge keyboard, which
yes, I have so many questions.
Okay, I'm
gonna pretend I didn't read your review. Just so everyone knows, I did read Jeff's review, but I'm gonna pretend I didn't read his review. So the last time we talked about Bridge, you were swearing them off. Like they had mm-hmm. some issues mm-hmm. With their last generation of keyboards where the keys would fail, like you would hit a key and nothing would happen. So this keyboard, what kind of made you decide to give them another shot?
Well, it basically boiled down to people like Mike Hurley and Jason Snell and Federico Vitici and people that I look up to and consume their content all the time talk highly about the new Series 2 keyboard for the 12.9 and then talk about how it seems to be that they fixed all their problems with the 12.9 Series 2 for the Bridge. For those of you who don't know, a few months back, Bridge came out with a new keyboard for the 12.9-inch iPad Pros that they called the Series 2. And they basically said that, like, we understand there were quality problems. We're fixing that with this keyboard. So rest assured, you know, if you had problems with the Series 1, then the Series 2 should fix those problems as far as quality goes. And some of those problems were Bluetooth connectivity wasn't always stable. It would lose connection once in a while. There were issues with the keys not necessarily being correct. And by that, I mean, like, if you pressed a key, like, if you look at a keyboard, and if you're able to do this with me real quick, if you press on a key, your finger goes in the dead center when you're looking at it. Like, that's kind of where you're at. But when you're touch typing or quickly typing something, your finger might hit the lower left-hand corner or the upper left-hand corner or, like, any of the corners. And there were issues with the Bridge keyboard where if you hit the corner, it wouldn't register as a key press. Like, the keys were that wobbly where it wouldn't register. And you would feel a tactile bump when you press the key down, but for whatever reason, the connection between the key and the circuit board would not make a connection, and the key would not be signified as a press for the computer, and it wouldn't show up. That's the really technical thing with it. But that was an issue that was basically fixed with the 12.9 Series 2. And then they took that same technology and that same kind of form factor, and they put it in the 10.5. And when I heard about that, my ears perked up because, as I've said before, I've had many, many issues about the Bridge keyboard that I bought prior to the Series 2 coming out. And it was all the problems that I mentioned before. And the problem that really irked me the most is that I sent it back not once, not twice, but three times. And every time I got a new one back, it would still have the same problems. I talk with Bridge, and I'm not going to throw Bridge under the bus. They're a company that has great customer support. They were very empathetic with my situation, and they were very helpful with me trying to get this problem solved. And unfortunately, the quality of their product wasn't there at the time for them to really allow them to do that. And that's nothing against Bridge. Maybe there's a warehouse issue. I don't know the whole story. But the bottom line was I had a bad taste in my mouth when I was done with them. And at the time, I really had no interest of trying to do it again. But because I got so many people saying how wonderful the new Bridge keyboard is and how all these woes and problems that I had and many other people had as well, that those problems are no longer there, it allowed me to kind of really think about, okay, do I want to give it another shot? And I know that they're great with returns, so if I do have a problem, I can send it back. So it seemed like a no-brainer for me to at least try it. And I'm very happy that I did, because this keyboard is 99.9% of everything I want in any kind of keyboard for the iPad. And it's a beautifully designed keyboard. The keys don't have any problems with them. The connectivity with the Bluetooth is 100% solid. Everything about this is, it has media keys, it has backlighting, It's great, and it has everything that I want. The only thing that I thought I wanted until Bridge kind of explained it to me was a smart connector as opposed to a Bluetooth connection. And the reason that I don't think that I want a smart connector anymore when it comes to like something like the Bridge is because if they were to use a smart connector, it would have to be at one specific angle so that the smart connector can make a solid connection, and you wouldn't be able to have that laptop style kind of thing where you can bend it back a little bit to change the angle or forward to change the angle. Like, that's kind of where the Bridge is beautiful, is that you can kind of turn your iPad into a quote-unquote laptop or notebook where you can kind of adjust it however you want and have it be the perfect angle viewer that you want, as opposed to like with the new iPad Pros or the smart keyboard for the original iPad Pros. It's like one or maybe two angles you can use, and that's it. But with the Bridge, you can use however you want.
Let's clarify something really quick. The design of the Bridge keyboard is kind of what makes it compelling.
Correct.
Basically, the keyboard is... It makes the iPad two parts, basically. And it makes it look more like a MacBook, really, essentially.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Bridge keyboard has a hinge that you slide the iPad into, and it folds back just like a normal laptop screen would. Then you have the keyboard right there. It very much makes it look like the laptop. So you have a very solid bottom. It works well on your lap. It's very appealing to a lot of people. Now, unfortunately, right now, they're only supporting the previous generation iPad Pros, but they have already talked about supporting the new ones. They've kind of released concept art of it. I'm very excited about it. I've kind of been tweeting, and I'm trying to get a review unit, but either way, I will probably just end up buying one because I'm very, very interested in this keyboard. The Smartfolio keyboard is fine, but literally that's it. It's fine. I'm not that excited about it. But something like this would be really interesting. It would fit really well in, like, you know, just like working in kind of tight knit areas that I kind of find myself every once in a while just like stuck, like sitting on the floor with my iPad and like that, this kind of keyboard case and stuff like that would just work really well for that. So I'm really curious to get my hands on it. I'm really glad to hear that they fixed their quality issues, that they recognize the fact that they did have quality issues, that if they were trying to like just blow it under the bus and they'd be like, oh, we don't know what you're talking about, I would probably like not even pay attention to this keyboard. But the fact that they're recognizing it, the fact that they're giving it another shot, the fact that they just didn't like let the old generation of iPads go and only focus on the new one, that the fact that they actually went back and remade that keyboard for the old generations, that's pretty good. I'm really excited for that.
Yeah, there's something special about this company because they do things that I wouldn't think any other company would really do. The first being, you know, creating a better product for an older version of something that has new releases on, meaning that like they updated the 12.9 keyboard and they updated the 10.5. They updated the 10.5 knowing full well that there's going to be new iPad Pros coming out very soon.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Like the 12.9 was released right before the new iPad Pros were announced.
The 10.5 was, not the 12.9.
The 12.9 was released. The Gen 2, like it was announced like right around WWDC, but then it came out like September-ish, right?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah, that is correct. Yeah. And the second thing is that they're like releasing concept art and literally asking the people that like follow them on Twitter and are interested in their products, like, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? And to me, like, that just seems like really, really wild because I don't know of any other company that would really release concept art for something that is made for an Apple product and then ask people what they think about it, because that to me, and I'm not saying that like the community is toxic when it comes to Apple fandom, but like it can get a little toxic. It can get a little difficult to maneuver around when you start asking questions like, what do you think about this product? What do you think about this design? And to me, like, Bridge has been doing things of like, we really want to just create something that people want and people will like. And like, I can't speak highly enough about the fact that this company has allowed, you know, for so much input and for so many things to be changed because of the input from their customers and from people that are interested in their products. It's kind of refreshing. And this isn't sponsored by Bridge or anything, but like, as someone that was very, very adamant against, do not buy a Bridge, do not get this, do not get that, and I finally did get one, and they fixed all the problems that I had with it, and they've been very cool about, you know, upcoming products and things like that. Like, that to me is refreshing, and I'm happy to see that, because for a while I was worried that Bridge was just going to kind of bank on the fact that people are going to buy these keyboards and either deal with it or you know, whatever. And it turns out that's not the case. They really want people to be happy with their products, and that's nice to me. I think that's a good way to go about it, and I'm happy that Bridge is doing that.
Yeah, that's really good to hear. I'm pretty happy that they are they're kind of turning the ship around. I was getting nervous there for a while. There's a lot of keyboards that are made for the iPads, but there are only a handful of good ones. And Logitech is not one of those companies. Their batting average is not very high. So really, like, the only keyboard right now that you can get that's for the new iPads is the Apple one, and it's fine. Like, it's literally fine. It is an okay product, but I'm excited to see other stuff come out. I can very well see the Bridge keyboard becoming the de facto, like, iPad Pro keyboard for, like, the people in, like, the Apple community that, like, really care about this stuff.
I think you know, the only keyboard that, like, Logitech really made that I enjoyed, or would have enjoyed if it was made for my iPad, would be the Logitech Create. Like, that seemed to be, like, the best
option. The 9.7 one specifically, not the 12.9.
Yeah.
The 12.9 one was, like, it was so big. I had it for a very short period of time. It was bad. It was so bad. I hated that product. But the 9.7 one was really good. They, like, struck gold with that one. And then they decided to do something completely else, and
Yeah, I was not happy with the slim combo. That, like, if Logitech were to take the 9.7 Create and make it just a little bit bigger to make it fit the 10.5, I think that would have been a better product than the slim combo ever would be.
Yeah, I mean, I get yelled at every time I talk about the slim combo, but I still think that's a bad keyboard.
I agree, because I bought it twice, and
I don't understand how you did that.
I was desperate, man. I was super desperate. And, like, the whole reason I knew about this whole second series of Bridge keyboards is because after I told you of, like, I caved and I got the Logitech Slim Combo, and you're like, you know, they're updating the Bridge one, right? And I go, what?
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, why are you buying that right now? Like, literally wait a week.
I couldn't return that keyboard fast enough.
Yeah, like, yeah. I don't blame you on that one. That's it's not a good keyboard. It's not a good. Mm-mm. It's like, it's kind of like anti iPad. Like, it's everything like the iPad. It's something I would see. I could see being made for the Surface products. Let me put it that way.
Because it has the same kickstand. Like, it's exactly the same kind of idea.
Yeah, it's like I also bought something too, and I unfortunately don't even have the name handy, but it's the Jason Snell iPad keyboard or the iPad stand that he uses with his mechanical keyboard.
We'll
put a link to it in the show notes, because I unfortunately did not copy the name over. But basically what's kind of nice about it is it's like a clamp you put your iPad into. And it sits up kind of high, and the way my desk is situated, it sits eye level. So all those people that comment about the ergonomics in my video, first off, it's really hard to film yourself. Like, it's really difficult to film yourself. So that's why I always look like I'm super uncomfortable or not sitting ergonomic in my videos. But this one kind of makes everything a little bit ergonomic. Paired with the Code Mechanical keyboard, it's a really nice setup. It's really, really nice. The one thing that is kind of annoying is like editing podcasts or editing video, something where you're touching the screen a lot, you kind of get zombie arms. So it's definitely better if you're writing full time, like if you keep your hands on the keyboard a majority of the time. But, like, if you have to kind of, like, go up and down, that does kind of get annoying after a while. So if you're a writer, I would definitely recommend it.
Yeah, I have one myself, and I still pick that one up when I'm writing long form stuff, or if I am, like, really taking a lot of time out of my day to, like, really write and stuff. Like, because it hurts, like, your neck gets cranked. Like, you crank your neck pretty hard, especially even, like, if I'm using my MacBook, I still have to look down like a 45 degree angle, but, like, my neck has to physically move down and be at the correct angle for me to see my MacBook in order for it to be visually useful. You know, like, when I use the iPad Pro with that stand, I can just look straight on and not have to worry about anything, because it's right in my eye level, and it allows me to not worry about strain and like, I don't know if your neck can have RSI, but like that's definitely something that comes to mind where I have to like take a break and like turn my head around and like do neck exercises and stuff like that, because it can be strenuous and it can hurt yourself. And that stand is great when it comes to like when I'm writing lawn pieces or if I'm spending a lot of time writing in general.
Yep.
It's not great when you're using a touch interface, but yeah, you know, but besides that, like, especially if you're using an application that has great keyboard shortcuts, you know, you'll never have to touch the screen. Ideally, like you could use things with that stand with no problem.
That'd be great. Yeah. If you spend a majority of your day at writing email and like task manager, like things with really good keyboard shortcuts, this thing would be fantastic for you paired with like a mechanical keyboard or some sort of like external keyboard, like the Magic Keyboard or something like that. This would be a fantastic stand for you. Unfortunately for me, when I just go to edit video or a podcast, it's a little too difficult. So that may be I need to reset up my. Remember one of the very first episodes we did, I talked about like making a makeshift standing desk out of my dresser and stuff. Maybe I need to reset that back up, and I'll put that there because I think that would be a really good fit for that.
Yeah, one thing I really like is that I actually used that stand recently after I got my Bridge keyboard, because guess what, since it's a Bluetooth keyboard, I can take the keyboard part of the Bridge keyboard and still use that as my typing interface, but take the iPad out of the clamps for it and put it on the stand to make it more eye level.
Yep.
And boy, is that great. I loved it, being able to do that and not have to like dig around and find my Magic Keyboard or, you know, whatever. I can, if I am going iPad only that day and I do want to decide to use something, whether it's like I take the stand and I take it out to my living room or something and I want to have a different environment for my writing, I can do that and still have the Bridge keyboard on my lap or on the counter and write and kind of do what Jason Snell does and kind of like go to a different room and still be able to like write and stuff like that. I can do that with this stand and not have to worry about straining my neck or hurting my eyes or like trying to conform so that it's comfortable for me to write with and kind of have to forego any kind of comfortability when it comes to how I'm looking at this thing. It's great. I love it. And I recommend it to anybody that like wants a stand that makes the iPad a little bit more comfortable for you when you're using it long-term.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I completely agree. Our next episode, we're going to steal something from another podcast.
Yeah. just because we love the idea so much, not because we want to be like that, but
we started this podcast started talking about this podcast in February of this year. Like you and I started kind of planning it out together. I think it was because it was right before I moved. Like it was like the week before I moved.
Yeah.
And we were planning it out, and I knew then I kind of wanted to borrow this idea from Cortex, the idea of yearly themes. I really don't like New Year's resolutions. I really don't like goals for the sake of having goals and stuff like that.
Yeah,
but
and we'll talk more about resolutions and stuff.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
Exactly.
Like I've talked about it before. There's a lot of things to be said about it for sure, and we're going to go into it.
Yeah, I just want to – I think we should just take the time, and I think next episode will be an interesting time to kind of look back on the year, Apple-wise, personal-wise, like, you know, our own separate kind of business-wise and stuff like that. So I think it'd be interesting, and then kind of talk about, like, what we have planned for not just the show but for us and, like, my YouTube channel and your blog and – just everything in general for like the next year, and kind of also like what kind of apps and tools and stuff we're using going into the year. I know people love it when we do that. I'm working on a video right now talking about like what I'm using going into 2019. I got a lot of requests for like, you know, hey, what kind of text editor are you using and things like that. So I think that's going to be kind of our plan for next episode.
Yeah, for sure. Let's do that and you know, maybe even come up with like a theme of like what our year is going to be, you know.
Yeah, I guess we can do a theme or something like that. Yeah. We are blatantly stealing this from Cortex. I know.
I don't want to say steal. I like to say borrow, like, cuz I think it'll be a similar kind of discussion but a little bit different, and we'll put our own flavor into it and stuff.
Yes,
like that.
Yes. We are definitely, I have some ideas and I know Jeff has some ideas that we're going to make it different, but we're borrowing the idea from them and we're going to make it our own. So, I think a lot of podcasts do this, and I think it's really good, and it's kind of always interesting to see how people have different takes on different ideas.
That episode about themes and stuff will be the one that comes out December 28th. It'll be the final one that comes out for the year of 2018.
So that being said, I guess it's time to wrap up. Where can people find you?
They can find me over at rocketpanda.net or over on Twitter at IamJeffPerry. And where can they find you, Chris?
You can find me at theuntitledsite.com with a brand new logo that Jeff designed for me. I'm super grateful.
Oh, yes.
I am very, very excited about this logo. It looks really good. I really like how it turned out. So go check that out there. Links to my YouTube channel's there. My Instagram's up there if you want to see nice pictures of me working on the iPad. That's pretty much all that gets posted on my Instagram now. It's all there if you want to check it out. Thank you guys so much for listening. We will talk to you next time.